tell you a story about when I was 8 years old. Who here is eight? Who here is eight? Are you eight, I think? Or do you think you're six or seven? Who's eight? Any eight-year-olds? Oh, we got one, two. Anyone else here is eight? Hey. I was 8 years old, and we were driving in the car, heading to the hospital. My grandma and grandpa were driving us, and we were excited. We were in the hospital, and we were excited. When does that ever happen? No one was really hurt. My mom was probably pretty hurt. But we got there, and the first thing the nurse told us, she gave us strict instructions that we were to wash our hands before we held my new baby sister. Does anyone have a baby sister? A younger sister? Yeah? You are the younger sister, yeah. I had been the younger sister for 8 years. I was the youngest. And now, there was going to be someone younger. I went from being the baby to being the middle child. Do we have any middle children? Any adults? Anyone in the middle child? Yeah. Yeah, you go from being supposedly spoiled to being neglected or ignored. And so I had an entirely different view of the world. And I knew I was going to have a little baby sister. And I took that responsibility seriously. I was going to take care of my little sister. So when my grandpa went towards her to try to hold her with his unwashed hands, I scolded him. You go wash your hands, grandpa. Don't touch my baby sister until you wash your hands. They will never let me live that down to this day. Because she was my little sister. And I was going to protect her from everything. And I was going to make sure that she had everything that she ever wanted in life. And I basically became her mama in a lot of ways. And so we had a lot of fights growing up. But everything changed. Everything changed. But you know what's interesting? Apparently, my mom and dad were not planning on having her. Anyone here an oopsie? Yeah, and then other people get me and they say maybe an accident. You know, she didn't know if she was going to be pregnant. They were doing the rhythm method, for those who might know. And they got pregnant, and we had a baby, and it was 8 years far. She didn't know she was that far apart. I'm going to have, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I hope it's obvious. I am going to have another baby. But she was what people would call an accident. But you know what's funny? She was not an accident to God. She was not a mistake or an oopsie or any of that. Anyone here who ever told that you were an accident, that mommy and daddy weren't planning on having you? Yeah? Don't point at anyone else. Because that's what society often tells us. There's entire studies saying that who you are in life will be defined by who came first, if you were the middle child, the last child, the first child. And if you thought your parents weren't going to have you intentionally. You know, it's called birth order. They have this whole psychological field studying this, saying you are going to be this person because you were born second. And this is how you're going to act. But God has a different plan for us, no matter what our birth order. When my mother was pregnant with her first daughter, my older sister, God gave her a dream. He gave her a dream that she saw three girls. Three girls. And she knew those were going to be three daughters. One was older and kind of shy. One was in the middle, kind of all over the place. You can kind of figure out who that is. And one was younger, running towards her saying, "Mommy, Mommy!" God had told her that she was going to have three daughters. Three daughters. And this was important because when my mom was about to give birth to her first baby, my older sister, she almost died. They had something where the placenta gets stuck. And this is why most mamas die when they give birth. The doctor said, "You have to get your tubes tied. You can't have kids ever again." But she's like, "But God gave me a dream. God told me there's more in here. I can't do that." So she risked her life and had me. And thankfully, nothing happened. And then she risked her life again, and she had my little sister. Because God had a plan for all of us to be here, to exist. And this is the closest we can come to understanding creation. Because God gave us this gift of being able to create children, to create life. And that's the closest we can get to experiencing what happened at creation. Something that was not there before, someone that was not there before, is now there, right? You didn't have a brother, a little brother, a little sister before, and now you do, right? Everything changes. You're no longer who you used to be. And it seems that God gives us the puzzle pieces of creation to know and put together with his help all through our lives so we can create our identities, our personalities, based on what he wants for us. So do I have anyone who likes to write to puzzles? Does anyone here like to do puzzles? I need 3 volunteers to do a puzzle. I got 1, 2, 3. Come on up. I'm going to give you, you're older, so you should be able to handle a harder puzzle. Okay? Go ahead and start putting your puzzle together. I'm going to give you this puzzle, and you get this puzzle, okay? Go ahead and put your puzzle together right here on the floor. I don't know if the camera's able to pick them up over here, but these are simple puzzles, hopefully. We could probably cheer them on. What do you guys think? Can we cheer them on? Yeah, go get the puzzle together. You can do it. I see you got this one going together. Okay. Oh, we got one. See, that was fast. Good job. High five. High five. Good job. Oh, we got 2. There we go. Is that one a little harder over there? Yeah. No matter what society has told you concerning who you are or whom you are supposed to be, based on the context of your birth or the family, it is God who ultimately created you, giving you all the pieces to put together in order to create his plan for your life, showing your worthiness and your purpose in being alive. So, right here, give me your name. What's your name?
T-O-I.
T-O-I? Toy? Toy? Tori. Tori. I'm going to add something to your puzzle, okay? Well, first of all, what was the puzzle picture? What was the puzzle picture? Do you remember? Do you remember what it looked like? It was a mouse. It was a mouse playing ball. Now, I added something to her puzzle, and I want you to tell me what you see now. What do you see? Do you see a Tori in there?
Yeah.
You see a Tori? Oh, awesome. What do you see? What do you see in there? You see Kelsey and your friend. What do you see?
A mirror.
You see a mirror. Good job. We were given the pieces at creation to put together all our life long so that when we look into the mirror, we can see ourselves. But you know what's even funnier? Once we put all the pieces together, when God looks into our lives, and we've done this with God's help, who does God see? When he looks into our lives, who does God see? What do you think? When God looks into the mirror, who do you think God sees? He sees himself. God sees himself. If you put the pieces all together for your life with God's help, God can look into you and see himself. Thank you guys so much. We can go ahead and leave this last one. That's okay. It can be a mystery. It's a fish. Just so everyone knows, it's a fish. And there's a starfish, and here's a snail. These are all the things of God's creation. No matter your birth order, your parents' decision to have you, God created you. He didn't just create you to exist, but he made sure you had everything and more that you needed to live and to thrive in the creation week. We see that God, I'm gonna give you guys a quiz. We see that God created the world in 6 days. You guys can move that? Awesome, thank you. As long as everyone can see the whiteboard. So what was day one? What was day one? Light. God created light. What was day two? The sky. Remember the clouds were added? So we have day one. Thank you so much. Day one was light. Day two, sky. What was day three? The earth. Well, it was the land. I'm thinking of world earth. Land. Now, this is what we call the habitat. It's kind of a big word. Can you guys say habitat? Habitat. God created the habitat first in the first 3 days. This is a fun way of maybe able to memorize the whole week. So the first 3 days, he created light, the sky, and the land. And the next three days, what happened on day four? The stars, the sun, the moon. But it's interesting because it says the lesser and greater light. Because, you know, at that time there was, you know, people would worship creation. Because it was so amazing and so wonderful and so marvelous. So they'd worship it. But it's interesting, when you read the Bible, it doesn't say moon or star or sun, because those were gods the people had created. Instead, it says greater light and lesser light. Now, what happened on day five? This was right here, was plants. We can add that over here. We had fish and birds. And last, day six? And land animals. Good job. And don't forget the people. You are so right. Because what? Who are we? We're the people. So we have to have us in there too, right? So what do you see happening here? God created the habitat. And here he created what? It's another big word. The habitats. The habitats. So the stars and the moon and the sun, they go into where the light was created. The universe was created where there was darkness. And then the fish and the birds, and the sky and the water, that's where they go. And then the land animals and the people, where they go? On the land and the plants. And God even says that we have all the fruits and trees that we would need to eat. We would have everything that we would need. God gave us not only food, not only a beautiful world and air to breathe and water to swim in, but he gave us a purpose at creation. Do you guys know what a purpose? He gave us a purpose. He said, what did he say to when he created humans? What did he say? Let us create man in our image. And in the image of God, he created them. Who? Male and female. That's a big responsibility. We were created in the image of God. So when you look in a mirror and you see an image, and I said, you look in there and God will see himself. The image of God. We were created in the image of God. People fight about this all the time to figure out what that means. The image of God. What do you think that means? God made you as he is. That's an awesome answer. Has anyone ever heard of the tabernacle? Ooh, that's another big word. They didn't have churches, and so they had the tabernacle. It was a big tent, right? And this is where they would worship with God. This is where God would meet them. And so this big tabernacle was reflective of a heavenly sanctuary, right? There was a heavenly sanctuary that God had, and he told Abraham, and he said, "Here, or Moses, here you go. This is how we're going to build the tabernacle." But it wasn't exactly like the one in heaven, right? It had some limitations. It was not exactly the same. So we, like God, remain his image, but we might have some limitations. Something else that the image of God being made in the image of God means is that we get to rule. Yeah, I saw some smiles. We get to rule. We have dominion over. That's another big word. We get to rule. What do we get to rule? The animals and all of that. But this is not something where we take advantage of it. I'm speaking to everyone here. God gave us this world to rule and take care of. Kind of like what you might call a vice regent. You know, you have the king, and he says, you take care of this state or whatever, and you take care of this place, and then report back to me and tell me how it's going. It's your responsibility to take care of this earth, because you're going to have to report back to me and tell me how it's going. This earth is yours. It's a gift. So you got to take care of it, because you are rulers over it. So you have responsibility to this earth and to these animals and to each other. And both men and women were given this directive, this image of God. So they were not only, they were able to relate to God, but they were also to rule the land that God had given them. And they got to name all the animals. Now, what happened after the sixth day? The day of rest. Josh read for us, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Now, do you think God was tired? And that's why he rested? No, you guys are so smart. No. In the Hebrew, the word just means he stopped working. He just stopped working. And you know, Adam and Eve were just created, so they didn't really do much work. They weren't working the whole week. They started their life with God, with the Sabbath being first. Now, what made the Sabbath holy and blessed? Because God was there. His presence was there. Now, do I have any family that is the children, the parents, and the grandchildren here? We got grandparent, and your kids are all here? Some of them? Can I get one to stand up? So you guys are all here. Go ahead and stand up. No? Okay. Uh-huh. Do you have one of them here?
My mother's here.
Your mother, you, and then your children. Okay, guys, stand up for me, if you don't mind. And then you have your own children, right, Starla? And you have your child here? So we have even more generations. Wow! Now, I want to ask you, did you guys know that you, because you're grandma to them, and you're great-grandma to them. And give me you guys' names. Give me your names. Aiden, Marie, okay. Did you know, Starla, right? Okay, good, I'm getting everyone's name here, that you would not be a mommy without them? Did you know that? You would not be a parent if you didn't have them. I know, this is shocking, right? And grandma, did you know that if you wouldn't be a grandma unless you had them?
Yeah, it's all my fault.
I mean, that's amazing, isn't it?
Mother, how many grandchildren do you have?
24 grandchildren. That's an applause right there. That's hard to do.
She has four children. I'm the oldest of the brats.
Amen. Now, did you know that you would not be a great grandma if they weren't here? I know you'd have other ones to pull from, but did you know that? They made you a great grandma. And guys, did you know that you wouldn't even be here without your mommy? Oh. And you wouldn't be here without your mother? And you wouldn't be here without your mother? Did you know that?
I wouldn't be here without my mother.
Exactly. Your presence and their existence made you all different, right? Because I'm sure you couldn't be the same person you used to be when they were born. No. And the same when you had grandkids around, everything changed?
Ned says, my husband said to me today, you're right at home, you're with the zoo.
Oh, no. And you, your life, I'm sure, changed when you had all these grandchildren. I hear it gets a little easier though when you become grandparents. Thank you guys so much. You can sit down. The presence of God made the Sabbath holy. Amen? The presence of God coming and being with his creation, his children, made the Sabbath day holy. What is today? Sabbath. And this day is made holy because God chose to come and be with us. The presence of God made this day what it is. And God chose, instead of, because you know, it's kind of like when you come Christmas morning. Imagine you walk down Christmas morning, and around the Christmas tree, all your toys were open and ready for you to play with. You know, Adam and Eve woke up, and they had all these toys to play with, right? All these animals, they had been given what to do. They could ride dolphins. They could ride giraffes. I mean, I'm excited about doing this in heaven. This is what they were able to do. And God spent that day that they had with him, with them. They spent that entire day together. You know, often we think about doing a week work and then, oh, okay, now it's Sabbath. We get to rest. And we're kind of recouping from the week so we can do the next week. But instead, what if we thought about it as starting with God, starting with being in the presence of God, and then going into our work week? Would that change your perspective? Would that change what you would do at school? Would that change what you would do at work? If you started everything with God at the beginning of your week? God was there, and that's what he saw as important. So I am going to give everyone here a challenge. Can you guys do a challenge? God knew it was so important to be present, to be a family, to spend time together. So my challenge is to grandparents, great-grandparents, parents, uncles, aunts, anyone, to take the time, especially today on the Sabbath, to be present with your little children or nieces and nephews. Take the time to be present with those that are your family. In our society, people tell us how everything is falling apart because families don't get to spend time together anymore. We are all busy. Oh, believe me, I know. We are all very busy. But this is the day the Lord has given us to be together. So parents, do not let this day end without spending time with your kids, asking them about God, asking them the hard questions, enjoying creation and all the toys that God made for us together. And children, my challenge to you, don't let your parents ignore you, okay? Don't let your parents go with the Sabbath day not being with you. So you go up to them and say, Mommy, Daddy, I want to do something today. I want to go to the park. I want to go walking with you, or I just want to talk. I have this question. How can we go to church on Sabbath? So that's what your responsibility is, okay? That's your challenge. You make sure that your parents take time to spend with you on the Sabbath and that you give them good ideas on what to do to enjoy all of these toys that God has given us. I thank you so much for enjoying this day with us. Lord, our Savior, Creator God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to experience you on this day. Lord, we pray that you go with us and each of the families here and that you allow us to experience your presence on this day that you have created and made holy and made blessed. We love you, Lord, and we look to you each day knowing that you are coming soon. We love you. Amen.